Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply. Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply.
I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers, and you know what makes me mad? When insurance companies deny your claim for no good reason. That's why people call me. I'm the lawyer insurance companies don't want to deal with. Visit GoldfingerLaw.com and get us working for you.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. Thanks to Zarar and Sam for holding it down while I was away on vacation, but it's after the All-Star break. I'm back. The Raptors are back. And joining me to discuss this very, very, I wouldn't say it was a great game, but it was definitely full of storylines with the Raptors winning 120 to 117 over the San Antonio Spurs is Assad.
Quite a theatrical masterpiece tonight, an emotional journey game between the Toronto Raptors and the San Antonio Spurs. William, it's a pleasure you having me on today to discuss this game.
You're speaking the way Fred VanVleet was dressed. You know, Fred came in with like a Deloitte-type outfit, man. He looked good. But, let's start at the end, all right? Because this is DeMar DeRozan's, you know, homecoming. It was very emotional. A very expensive game to go to. People paying thousands to see DeMar DeRozan, even though he played 9 years here. DeMar gets his tribute video. I mean, everyone's getting tribute video. It was weird, man. They gave a tribute video to the ACC turning 20 years old. That's, like, did you have to do that tonight? Like, I could get this anniversary, but I don't know. But it was DeMar's night the whole way, and it honestly looked like the Spurs were gonna take it at the end. DeMar had a great assist. Driving kick to Bellinelli to give the Spurs the advantage. And he had the ball in his hands on a very crucial moment. And he turned it over in the most cruel way possible with his best friend Kyle Lowry swarming him with a random double team right at half court. And then the guy he got traded for, Kawhi Leonard, who, you know, the team that he played for forever, the Toronto Raptors, decided, you know what? We're cool, DeMar. You know, we thank you for everything, but we want this guy over here. And it just happens to be that guy, Kawhi, who takes the ball and then dunks it.
And shout out to VTech Poppy, who summed it up. It was in true Toronto fashion, yo. Your ex and her new man robbing you in the middle of nowhere.
Yo, for real. That's exactly what happened. This is like, I feel so bad for DeMar, but as a Raptors fan, it's just like, It's almost hilarious, you know what I mean? This is like some WWE scripted shit, like, you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Kyle Lowry with the steel chair to, like, I don't know, I haven't watched wrestling in like 10 years, but, it's funny, cause Kawhi wasn't even having that great of a game, like, this is one of Kawhi's, he had an awful game.
Like, 8 of 23 shooters. I would love a free pair of New Balance sneakers and all that, but that is not a good look for his first game with New Balance sneakers. Okay. My god, this guy looked out of sorts everywhere.
Accountant Assad would never say that. Accountant Assad would definitely wear New Balances.
Yo, I do like the shoe though. It's nice.
Yeah. I mean, though, we could start with Kawhi, I guess. I mean, he looked rusty. 8 of 23 shooting, 0 of 4 from 3, forcing a lot of his offense. He got to the free throw line, and he was able to use his physicality to sort of put his mark on the game. And he still ended up with a team high 25 points, but I don't know, man. What's going on? I feel like Kawhi hasn't really looked quite himself for like 10 games, and 10 Kawhi games really spans like a month.
By far the worst he looked. Like, the games leading into the All-Star break, he didn't look good. Mm-hmm. I personally, like, since he came back from, like, that rest week he took, the maintenance week, the load management week he took, I personally, like, he had, I think, 2 30-point games since in that span after he came back, but they didn't look good. like for whatever reason, like his just rhythm kind of seemed off. He's not blowing by guys as easily. Defensively, he's been passive at times and just kind of getting
he was supposed to guard DeMar.
Destroyed by Patty Mills whenever the hell Patty Mills wanted to today.
Yeah.
Like, he got exposed by Patty Mills' leadership.
Okay, all right. No, for real though, this game was going to look real bad on Kawhi if it wasn't for that game-saving steal. Which wasn't like, really him. It was really Kyle this whole ball.
And that turnaround jumper. Like,
yeah.
The guy started the game 2 for 13. When Jack said 2 for 13, I was like, how? How are you 2 for 13? All of your shots have been at the rim.
You think this is like a rhythm thing for him? You know
100%. Like, at the beginning of the game, he was like, the one thing was this was like a charge game and like the team clearly came out revved up. Mm. Like, you saw that from Lowry's energy.
Kyle was great.
Lowry looked like a completely different player. Like, if this is what playoff Lowry is, like, we'll get to it. Mm. But that was quite promising. But even Kawhi, he started the game and like when he was on the ball, he seemed revved up. He was blowing by this guy to get to the basket. And he just seemed to be going faster than he, like, I think was processing things where he's going too fast for himself. And he, like, the rhythm was just gone. And then he tried to slow it down to try and find rhythm. And then he was just getting confused by the double teams. And he was passing out of the double teams pretty well. I don't think his passing was poor today. He actually did a pretty good job passing the ball.
Spurs double teamed them all night.
He didn't really get any assists for his credit, but, like, the ball moved and he hit the right man. He had one no look in the first half. We got doubled around, like, the mid post. And he looked to the corner and no looked it to Kyle, stepping into a spot at the wing. And then what that did was it forced the defense to rotate from the corner up. And then Kyle hit Siakam for the corner three. Danny for the corner three. Also, Pascal.
What's going with
Pascal's
Pascal?
First corner three.
He turned around like Steph Curry. What the hell?
Come
on, man. Yo, someone on Twitter, I forget who it is, I apologize for stealing this, but I mean, yo, Pascal was literally Andre Roberson like the first 3 years of his career, and then he's doing this? Wild.
I just want to take credit, because in the very first game Pascal Siakam played, my very first tweet was like, holy crap, we just drafted new KG. But he's way better than Kevin Garnett.
Oh, okay. Alright. Okay.
Franchise player, honestly.
I mean, Pascal, I would say, was the best Raptor tonight in terms of his overall impact. I mean, honestly, Kawhi had nothing, you know, for the entire first half of the game, and really was Pascal who had a couple of nice, like, driving dishes to Kawhi to get him going.
Franchise player got his guys going.
Yeah.
You gotta get your role players involved. Gotta get your 3-and-D guys involved when the 3 isn't falling, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Get him some easy buckets at the hoop. Pascal did that. Got him 2 easy buckets to start the third quarter.
And then Kawhi was okay. He was okay-ish.
He started 2 of 13. I think he ended 6 of 10 from the floor.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
Pascal.
This is the thing. I think, yeah, Kawhi, I do agree. It's a rhythm thing, right? It's not like he forgot how to play basketball. Although today he really, like, the way he looked tonight was like a player in preseason. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of like just kind of get your feet wet and like trying to figure out your rhythm, timing, and everything like that. And I think honestly, like just playing 2 straight weeks without missing a game would be great just for his rhythm, just for his own personal rhythm, right? Because like it wasn't like the Spurs were doing anything completely new to him. Like, yeah, they put Patty on him and put a smaller guy to sort of take away his dribble and sort of really body him up, and then they sent help. But like he's seen all that throughout the entire season, and he succeeded. It was weird to see Kawhi do what he did. Luckily, Kyle Lowry really picked it up. I thought, you know, like you mentioned, if this is the playoff Kyle we get, this is great, because even the stat line is a little bit modest: 17 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. Obviously, one of the steals, you know, led to the game-winning shot. But also, I just thought the way Kyle like pushed the pace, and also the way he played defense. I really thought the rest of the Raptors were kind of really sloppy on defense, like Siakam, Kawhi, you know, Danny, Ibaka, and Gasol. Like, those are usually very good defenders. Today, they were just really slow and really out of position. Kyle played really good defense, and even on the last shot there, you know, he was the one that contested Bertans' shot and then also got back into the play for the rebound. But also, man, this game really came down to Kyle Lowry switching out to DeMar DeRozan over and over and over again and then stopping him. Like, I feel so bad for DeMar, as if it's your best friend.
Incredible defense. Oh. Like DeMar didn't even do anything wrong. Like, DeMar got the move off.
Yep.
His footwork was fine. He got deep. He got deep positioning.
Yep.
He got, like, the last one, he was pretty deep into the mid post. And Kyle just swarms you as soon as you turn around. He gets right under you.
Yeah.
And has hands in your, like literal face. He's not even going for the ball.
Yep.
And it's like, damn, man, Kyle brought his game today. And the thing I noticed, it was right away, it was like off the tip. He just pushed the ball with so much force.
Yep.
And he pushed it to go to the rim. He went to the rim a few times tonight.
Yep.
If not to like just finish the play, but just bursting to the rim and then bringing it back out. And then he had a couple finishes tonight. Like I think the one to end the half or end of half or end of third quarter,
third quarter
where he just, 7 seconds left and he just got himself split the defense, got to the rim for a layup. And it's like, all right, like that Lowry we haven't seen in a while. And he just had a different zip tonight than I've seen in like probably the last 2 weeks. You've seen him kind of speed up. As he's gotten in better shape. I think he also looked in better shape than he has in a while. Usually the white jerseys can tell if a guy's in shape or not.
Mm.
Like, Marcus Gasol, I'm not terribly certain if he's in great shape right now.
Marcus Gasol's meeting that paella.
Oh, man. I don't know what Serge fed him on How Hungry Are You coming out next week, but my God, he was terrible.
I don't actually know how the Raptors won this game, to be honest, because I felt like most of the Raptors played terribly. It's really just Kyle and Pascal and Danny Green that played well.
Just did not guard Jakob Poeltl for like three straight possessions. It just gave him layups.
There was one play where like it was – I forgot who – I think McCaw was stuck in the post against Rudy Gay.
And Gasol just leaves this guy under the basket to saunter over. And I'm like, what is he doing?
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me. But, yeah, I mean, the fact – I can't get over the fact that like DeMar – I mean, like he really came out in this game. He didn't really have the same approach that he did in San Antonio, where he got his first career triple-double. Like, that one, he was out for blood. This one, he was sort of just kind of, like, feeling his way through, and was really frustrated and really emotional and things like that. But, like, in the fourth quarter, it honestly, I can't believe basketball is this cruel. Like, it's really Kyle Lowry who knows all of his tricks, all of his foul-baiting tricks, right? Knows exactly that he wants to switch onto the point guard and attack through the post, and Kyle just knew exactly what he's going to do. I mean, Kyle won the Raptors this game, period, right? Like, Kawhi had some good moments in the second half. You know, Pascal had some great moments in between, and Danny Green was red hot from three early on. And Jeremy Lin actually had a really nice fourth quarter there. I think he scored 9 points to give the Raptors a boost, to keep the Raptors close. But it was really Kyle that got the Raptors over the hump. And, God bless
Kyle. And to be fair to DeMar, DeMar, coming in, I know in the last couple months, month and a half has been a little rough for DeMar. He's been dealing with a couple injuries. Mm-hmm. I think he's been dealing with some knee soreness and something else as well. So he's been in and out of the lineup.
Yep.
And like his shot's been a little off. His speed hasn't been as great. So like I was kind of worried that he might just not perform that well this game because of that stuff. So him lacking that same type of aggression and zip from that game, I think is just kind of carryover from what's he's been kind of going through like health-wise last month or so. But he had a great line tonight, like personally, like, just watching DeMar play. He played
really
pretty
efficient.
Good. And he's efficient. Only took 12 shots.
Yeah.
And he hit 7 of them. It's pretty good. That 360 layup though on Serge.
Ooh.
Serge owes him $100, man.
Definitely. I mean, the original
bet. I bet you $100. DeMar really, really thinks $100 is a big amount. I respect
you. Yo, remember when DeMar was like, I'll give any of you guys, Doug Smith, I will give you $100 if you could guard LeBron. $100. One crispy bill. Oh my God. That's even less money than Dante Jones was being paid by LeBron to just shit can a Bismack Biyombo. Yeah, I mean, Kyle had a great, it was a great moment by Kyle. I mean, let's talk about the rest of the players though. I guess we'll start with the positives and move to the negatives. All right. So Jeremy Lin in the fourth quarter scores 9 points. I feel like Lin and Gasol have a little bit of chemistry in terms of just like those two guys know how to operate the pick and roll. And it's just really, over time, I think I don't really permanently like Gasol off the bench. I don't think that's the best use of his skill set. I think his skill set probably works a little bit better with the starters, but if that is the second unit combination, I think that is a dependable source of offense, and, you know, they have to really consolidate on that. Like, stop giving the ball to Norm, which, man, Norm looked bad. Norm was forcing his shit again.
Norm looked bad.
I feel like every time Norm gets in a very small role, he doesn't know when his minutes come, he starts forcing his shots, and it's like, dude, no, please. Yeah. It's the opposite.
To be fair, I think tonight, like, the guys who played bad, you can kind of just chalk it up to, like, first came back from the All-Star game. Because it was a lot of rhythm stuff that was just kind of off.
I don't know, man. Powell was going for those contested layups over two guys again, which is the worst part about Powell's game by far.
I don't totally agree with you about Jeremy Lin and Gasol having any special chemistry in terms of pick and roll. Like, they obviously ran it well. But Jeremy Lin was just as fine. I think he had another 4 points once Serge came in. They ran that pick and roll to perfection. Mm. I think Jeremy Lin is just really good at pick and roll.
Yep.
And I was actually really excited watching Jeremy Lin. Like, even when he was missing, he would start off 0 for 5.
Yeah, he was getting good shots.
But his ability to get to the basket and mm-hmm. keep his dribble and then make a pass, like, the fact that he can pass out of a pick and roll or, like, make, like, that one pass he had to Serge where he drove hard to the basket off the pick and roll.
Went baseline.
Circled back.
Yeah.
And then hit Serge after the seal with that little pocket bounce pass.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you need from your point guard to do. And the
Yo, Fred VanVleet, take note, man.
Do that?
Yo, Fred has tried to do that all year, and he's failed.
Sorry, I blew on the mic. But, oh, my God. Fred, like, I love Fred, but he can't run pick and roll, man. He's just too small. He can't see it, the passes, and he just can't make them. So... Oh, like, I'm actually Augustine really excited when he comes back. I'm just really excited for when Fred comes back, for him to be paired with with Jeremy Lin.
Mm-hmm.
Just because Jeremy Lin can be that on-ball pick-and-roll guy to initiate your bench offense.
Yeah, definitely.
And then if Fred VanVleet is catching it off the drive once the paint collapses for catch-and-shoot or to make the ball rotate or attack a closing defense or a defense that's in motion, that becomes something that's sustainable on your bench where you can start creating stuff. Because then you're that fourth or fifth guy in that unit becomes just a spot-up shooter, which is kind of what you need out of an OG or a Norm, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. And one of the other bright spots in this game is OG. His shooting has really come around. You think his shot's different because he did have like 4 threes against Washington. I think he had like 20, 24 points, something like that. And then today he only had 9 points, but 3 of 3 from deep. And the other attempt was a dunk.
So clean.
Okay, so what are you seeing different with his shot?
So someone pointed out, because I knew something was like different, because mm-hmm. it just like looked a little more compact.
You remember
before he'd shoot and then he'd do that little sauce thing where his like arm would jut.
Bro, his hands would come apart. Like I don't know what that is.
That's
man.
All gone. Like it's just a straight.
Yeah.
It's just compact. It stays in the box and he shoots it. And I was like, damn, because the shots. Like usually when OG even makes threes, they don't look clean.
No,
they're like weird, they have a weird arc, or they'll bang off the rim and make a weird sound for whatever reason, like Mil Palacio ass shot.
Okay.
Shot of Mil Palacio.
Whoa. A lot of former rappers getting shots.
He made the rim sound so weird on made shots. Like, every one of his made shots sounded like a brick. Anyways. OG shot just looked a little different. I'd like to watch some footage and see, like, that's what it seemed like, that it just seemed more compact and tighter.
He's learning from Pascal. That's how Pascal improved the shot, for real.
And it looked repeatable. I was like, that's a nice looking shot.
No, I mean, it'd be a great boost if the Raptors could have OG as a dependable 3-and-D guy, because I think defensively, he's been really solid for a couple months now, really. I really enjoyed his defense tonight off the bench. Again, a guardian guy like Gay, who, you know, is kind of a tricky cover, to be honest. Really, Gay's pretty skilled. And if OG can hit the threes too, that'd be great because, you know, the Raptors all year have struggled with three. I think honestly the Raptors really were in this game because of the 3-point shot, especially early on. Like the offense was not good at all. The Spurs did a really good job of shutting down the paint. The Raptors also did a really good job of missing bunnies, but whatever. The Raptors shot 14 of 30 from deep. They had 12 threes by halftime. So, you know, that was really what carried them early on. The Spurs kind of adjusted and, you know, they kind of were more aggressive on the 3-point line and the Raptors got more twos, you know, second half, whatever. But, let's talk about the negatives, though. Gasol.
Oh, my God.
Bro, this was tough to watch.
He was still on All-Star break, man.
He had nice assists.
Around the court.
Yo, he had nice glamour assists, but otherwise, it was an ugly performance from Mark, man. And a little bit jarring, to be honest, because it's not like the Spurs. I mean, like, Poeltl's a nice player. We all know exactly what Poeltl can do. He's Austrian Amir Johnson, but, no, but for real, he's Austrian. That's not even slander. I love Amir.
That's legit.
But, I mean, Gasol should do a lot better in that matchup. And I thought, honestly, he got outplayed by Poeltl, despite the fact that Gasol had these assists. I don't know, man. Physically, he didn't look, I mean, I don't know. How long was also break? Like a week? I didn't even gain that much weight on vacation. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, it was like, what it was a solid doing? Week, right? Because the last game was on Thursday, so it was like 8 days at least.
It's just since 8 days. The last game.
I don't know where he went on vacation. But, okay, well, he was back in Memphis moving. I don't know. I'll give him the game just like, as in, all right, cool, you're moving stuff. sure. Because he just didn't look like he had energy out there to really
no,
be moving.
He
like,
looked exhausted.
Just seemed like four steps slow.
Yeah.
And like, and it wasn't just like he looked four steps slow, like relative to the other team. It's like he looked four steps slow compared to him last week.
Yeah. I mean, he was like battling foul trouble all game because, to be honest, he was out of position a lot.
Oh, yeah. And like, even like the blocking fouls he was arguing, I was like, man.
Yeah, I mean,
you're sticking your gut out.
Like, for real, though.
That's you're a blocking foul.
That's a Chuck Hayes foul, man. You're fouling him with your stomach. So, I mean, look, we expected a lot better out of Gasol, really. I think he's shown to be better than this already, and I was waiting for him to sort of turn around. He didn't really turn around. Kawhi we already covered. He turning around. And, you know, thankfully, Ibaka was there to, you know, shore up the defensive glass, which was an issue for the Raptors in the first half. Second half, not so much. Ibaka was a lot better. I think Kawhi was a lot better, too, even though he only had three defensive rebounds. It feels like all three were very important ones. But, yeah, I mean, this whole Ibaka-Gasol thing, like, I think they should really rotate based on matchups and based on just the, on paper today. Like, I think Ibaka did a great job against, LaMarcus. LaMarcus had 6 points on 2 of 8 shooting. But I think, generally speaking, like, you should try to rotate the two centers just cause I do want to see what Gasol, what the starting lineup looks like. I do feel like Gasol was shooting.
There were transition lineups where I think they played probably like 8 minutes, 8 minutes of the starting lineup.
Yeah. But it wasn't even planned. It was just like foul trouble that like, you know,
no, not really. Just... It was like. Well, no. Well, they had the first 8 minutes. What was it, the first 6 minutes Ibaka played? Then they subbed him out, put Gasol in, right? And then at the 10 minute mark, I think the entire starting lineup subbed out.
Right.
But that. But I like. I actually like the stretches where it was Gasol with the starters.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he wasn't finishing well, like they were able to get some good looks out of it. And the one thing, like Gasol's just that, the quick passing. The passing's a lot faster with him. Even when you're having a bad game, passing is a lot faster. And the biggest thing was. There was a starting lineup. The starting lineup was basically out there, and Kyle Lowry got a catch and shoot three out of it because Gasol moved the ball and found him.
Exactly, which is something that never
and
happens.
That's
Kyle has to create so much
never
of his own offense. Yep.
Kyle's either taking a pull up three. He's not taking any catch and shoot threes unless they're like in transition and
or off set plays, like off like after a timeout or off a baseline inbound or something like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is true. It will help Kyle, and I think it'll even help Kawhi too, just because. As much as Serge has been great, you know, Gasol sets a lot bigger screens in terms of, I don't know, man. It seems like we're all just like subtly somehow dissing Gasol's heft. Like, yo, he sets massive screens. Like, all right, cool. No, but like, I think he does make more contact on the screens and I think it helps. I think Lin got a couple of drives just off Gasol creating separation. And same thing with Leonard. You know, Leonard came off the screen, I think in the third quarter there. Gasol wiped his man, you know, the help had to come, and then Leonard with a quick bounce pass back to Gasol for the dunk. You know, I mean, Gasol still has 6 assists, so that's nice, but, you know.
Also, and that, talking about that pick and roll, that's also something I think the Raptors probably need to go to a little bit more, especially down the clutch. Like, if you're going to give Kawhi the ball and, like, you're going to center him up like that, right, in the middle, instead of, like, there was that one play, he got the ball in the middle, he drove right on DeMar, and then Serge was spacing in the corner. So Serge man's helped down, and you get Serge an open corner three. That's not really that great
of a
shot, to be honest.
No.
It would be a lot more beneficial. Like, you can still set it up the same way, but then have Serge be set a pick. And so then he becomes a roller, and he has his own roll gravity. So he's still, like, he's still an offensive threat, and his defender has to stay attached to him. And Kawhi still gets an advantage off the screen and gets to attack it, right, without the second man coming.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the better way to go about attacking it, just like watching instead of using Gasol, even if Gasol's in there, instead of using Gasol or Ibaka as spacers in that situation, use them as screeners.
Yeah.
For Kawhi on ball, because I think it'd just be more useful, especially if teams are just going to double Kawhi. Because that first half was basically what the playoffs are going to end up looking like.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means like the Raptors have to shoot like this.
Exactly.
In the playoffs as well.
Yep, exactly.
And that's what it's going to come down to.
All right, I'm running short on time, so let's hand out 3 stars. I mean, first star has to be Kyle. He's came up with the most important plays.
I've got to say, Kyle, he was dripping too hard.
Okay, all right. Yo, Jack,
he was definitely drip. His drip was definitely the hardest.
Yeah. Are you talking about the when he wears a towel like a head wrap drip? Is that the drip you're talking about? Oh yeah. By the way, Nick Nurse got ejected from this game. By the way. Oh yeah. I completely forgot about that. Yo, if the Raptors lost this game by like 1 or 2 points, and it was because Nick Nurse got his swaggerless ass ejected from the game, I would have been so pissed.
Oh yeah. First of all, yo, fuck Mark Davis.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely, man.
Fuck Mark Davis.
He is every time halfway through a game, I'm like, yo, why is the officiating so bad? And then I was like, oh yeah, Mark Davis, and I was like, yeah, this is bad. And then like 2 minutes after that, Nick Nurse got ejected for I don't even know what did he do, really. Like, also, was Nick Nurse wearing two suits? Like, he looked like he was wearing
Hugh Jackman from The Greatest Showman.
Yo, for real, like he had a like a navy blazer underneath, like pants and top, and then he had a gray coat over it. It looked like he was wearing two suits.
Like an extra from Sherlock, man.
Yo, Murdoch for
Mystery's
real.
Ass Nick Nurse, yo.
Shout out Canadian content. Oh, yo, Murdoch Mysteries, man. That show's bad. That show's real bad. It plays at very prominent times on CBC. Kim's Convenience better. All right. Yeah, okay, so Kyle for first star. Who you got for second star?
Second star? Not Kawhi, I didn't play. Ah, Pascal.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna give it to Pascal. Yeah. He carried the offense for basically the second and third quarter.
Yeah.
And he got people going, and I think he ended up being a -10 for the game somehow. Don't terribly know how.
Yeah.
Probably because he was playing with the garbage Kawhi units where Kawhi was just bricking. Mm-hmm. But honestly, Pascal basically got whatever he wanted at will.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they kept matching up. He kept getting Davis Bertans on him, and he kept eating him alive.
Oh my God.
Like, my God. Yo. He got DeMar in the post. Got a foul on him as well.
These teams have to stop disrespecting Pascal by putting these random power forwards. Like, no Ersan Ilyasova, no Davis Bertans, none of this trash, all right? Because Pascal's just roasting these guys.
The one thing is, like, Pascal, like, early on it was like, oh, he's getting a lot of his offense, like, off of Kawhi or off of Lowry in transition. Now it's like, nah, he's just in the half court. You give him an ISO, he's going to get you a good look.
Yeah. Definitely.
And it's like, it is astounding. Also, I think Pascal's got he's basically like Ditto, where he just sees a player on his team doing something and he just picks up that skill.
Nah, Marc Gasol joins
the team for four games. Four games, Marc Gasol's on the team, and now Pascal's throwing random ass passes from, like, out of nowhere.
Of course,
he has some dimes in the past too, but he had some nicer dimes. Like, he had one to Kawhi that he just, like, lobbed up there.
Oh, yeah. That was a beautiful pass.
I was like, damn, Pascal!
You're right. He stole that from Kyle, man. I'm telling you, he's Smeargle. Every ten levels, he gets to take a move from somebody. That's how fast he's. Yeah, shout out the Metapod. Rest in peace. So yeah, Pascal number two, and then I'll say number three. It really comes down, like, there's a couple of options here. I think Serge really deserves some love with 13 points, 15 rebounds. But ultimately, I feel like Serge also missed some, like, really wide open looks in the fourth quarter. So I don't feel great about that. Danny was really hot early on from three, 17 points, 6-9 shooting, 5-7 from three. But, you know, I'm just gonna say, Jeremy Lin was very important in the fourth quarter, alright? He really kept the Raptors afloat. He only had 11 points and 4-11 shooting. First half, he was not there. Second half, especially in the fourth quarter, he carried the Raptors for a while, and for that reason, I'm giving him a third star.
And that's the reason why you signed him. Like,
He gives you sparks.
That's dynamic scoring that he gave them in that fourth quarter, where it's like, you just need somebody who can get a shot off and can get a good look. And he changed the game. Like, he was able to get to the rim at will. He was able to get open in the mid-range at will. And, like, sometimes those shots are going to go in, sometimes they won't. But when they're going in, that gives you a guy that you can, like, kind of throw in there for a couple minutes and be like, yo, get me a bucket.
Yep.
And
it's something DeLon can do.
Not,
for yeah, real, it's something DeLon and even Fred can't really do. Just consistently create off that. And, like, he can actually create in the sense that, like, he can come off the high screen, the defense is sagging back, playing him to drive. He can actually make those pull-up mid-range jumpers.
He's also just faster than those guys.
He's way bigger than Fred. He doesn't have to do Fred's, like, oh, I'm going to get in the lane, and then all of a sudden, I think I'm Kyrie, I'm going to do a spinning layup.
Good handle. He did a behind the back crossover into a drive and then behind the back pass to Serge.
Yeah.
Like, that was one combo that, and I was like, damn, that's nice. That's a nice combo to have instead of Fred VanVleet doing a bunch of random dribble moves and his defender just standing there like, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're not gaining an advantage. What are you doing? I like Jeremy Lin today. I think he was a third star, to be honest.
This is why you get Jeremy Lin, to do stuff like this. You know. Anyway, Gerald Henderson. DeMar? No, come on. No. That's rude. That's
Marco Bellinelli, bro.
Yeah. Revenge game. Marco Bellinelli, revenge game.
My God. Also, shout out Jack Armstrong, who just always just manages to throw some sort of shade at Marco Bellinelli game.
What did he say?
He was saying something, like, I think it was when Bellinelli started the game, he traveled, like, 3 times.
Mm. Oh, yeah. And, like, he was the first
one that went uncalled, Jack just, like, ripped into it. And, like, this goes back to even when, like, Bellinelli was playing on Charlotte, where Jack was just going at him randomly about, this guy, he has all the skills, but he just, for whatever reason, he just keeps ending up on losing teams, and guys don't pick him up. He keeps bouncing around. You'd think someone with his skills would get picked up, but he just keeps bouncing around. And it's a shame to see it. I'm like, man, damn, Jack really doesn't like Marco Bellinelli.
Damn. Yeah, Marco was good, man. 21 points off the bench, 7 of 15 shooting, 5 of 12 from deep. I don't know. I don't describe a Marco Bellinelli game. He took some awkward leading shots and he hit them. To be honest, he looked like he was going to hit the game.
He was
game
winning too hard.
He was not dripping too hard, man. He has some bad tattoos. Marco, get some of those tattoos from. Anyway. That's
I thought he had cupping thing on his shoulder, like the cupping thing.
I think
thing
it might be,
shoulder.
Man. I think he might be doing the Chinese cupping thing. Shout out Chinese medicine making a comeback. People nowadays getting acupuncture for fun. That's not fun, man. It's not fun. Anyway, that does it for the podcast. Asad, thank you for coming on the show. Where can people find you and your tweets?
That's our lasers on Twitter. Hit me up if you want to follow. Go ahead.
Yeah, tax season coming up.
It's all good. It's basically here. So, you know, get your stuff in.
Yeah.
Get your refunds early if you have them.
Yep. That's it.
Fun times.
Yeah. But not fun for you, though.
Ah, no, it's fun for me, too. Why not?
All right.
There's a certain fun to
you. Okay. Yeah. You sound like you're having a time of your life. All right, man. That does it for the podcast. I'll be back after the next game.
Regina King for Cadillac Escalade. When people ask, Regina, do you like to compete? I say, bring it on. Those are the moments that drive you to achieve more. And when you win, you keep reaching higher. To me, that's what the Cadillac Escalade represents. It's always evolving in technology, in design, everything. Because success isn't the end. It's just the first step to what comes next.
The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving. Regina King for Cadillac Escalade.
When people ask, Regina, do you like to compete? I say, bring it on. Those are the moments that drive you to achieve more. And when you win, you keep reaching higher. To me, that's what the Cadillac Escalade represents. It's always evolving in technology, in design, everything. Because success isn't the end. It's just the first step to what comes next.
The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.